We're going to continue to revel in the blessings that are ours since we came to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. The patriarch Job made the statement, "Neither is there a daysman between us." Crying out unto God, if someone could be as a mediator between us that might establish communication between me and God. Isn't it wonderful that the Bible reminds us that Jesus Christ is that daysman? He is that mediator, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, came as God, but yet became man. And he shed his precious blood that we might have eternal life. This morning, we're going to be looking at new things in the life of a believer in our continuing series. And we're going to be looking this morning at the subject of our justification, the fact that we have been justified. Specifically, we're going to be looking at 10 aspects of our justification. First of all, I'd like to have you turn in your Bibles to answer the question regarding, number one, the need for our justification. It was brought out during our Sunday school hour regarding the supreme need of man. You recall, as we begin the chain link for the Romans Road of salvation, and I've used the Romans Road to witness to people to Christ. It's not certainly the only method, but it is one that is founded solidly upon the Word of God, especially in the book of Romans, which presents the jewel of the gospel so clearly. But in Romans chapter 3, regarding the need for justification, the Word of God says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." The word righteous just simply means right with God. And that's where man's need begins. He is not right with God. And everything that man will throw at you when you seek to lead them to Christ will be to justify themselves in their own merits. As we saw this morning, the woman at the well, when she brought up the fact of Mount Gerizim, what she was wanting to do was argue theology. How many times have you tried witnessing to someone and they bring up, "Well, why are there so many denominations?" Well, at a left field that comes. What are they trying to do? Well, they're sensing the conviction of the Holy Spirit of God, and what they're doing is kind of trying to backhand and bring in another subject and somehow try to divert the discussion. Well, the Bible tells us man needs to be right with God. And the word justification speaks of how man can be right with God. But the need for justification is clear. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 64, the Bible equates some rather interesting word pictures when it describes the spiritual need of man. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says, "We all are as an unclean thing. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Just as the rags of a leper, the running, oozing wounds of a man dying from leprosy, those filthy rags, even at our best, even at mankind's best, all of his good deeds are as filthy rags in the eyes of the Lord. Note with me regarding the need of man's justification to a third scripture 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous..." Now, the original does not include the definite article, as the King James might imply by inserting it, but literally, the absence of the article describes a class of people, people whose lives are characterized by the unrighteous deeds that are mentioned in verses 9 and 10. "Know ye not that unrighteous..." people, in other words, "shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived." Don't go into your own orbit like a planet goes out of an orbit. Don't be deceived. "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And yet, what do we see today on the news media? Well, that doesn't sound very politically correct. And the media, tell me if I'm not telling you the truth, the media goes out of its way to soft pedal and to make these things the normality, the new normality of an amoral and immoral society. And yet the Word of God says man is not right with God. He needs to be justified before God. Well, some of you might ask, well, what's the meaning of justification? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's number two in the second consideration of this matter of justification. The word justification means to declare as righteous. It is a judicial term. Now, be careful, because Roman Catholicism seeks to make justification a progressive attainment. Justification, they say, Romanism says, is something that you work for, and with the prayers of the saints, present and absent, and with purgatory and all of the suffering, you finally attain the place of being right with God. The Bible says justification is an immediate declaration that God makes. It means to declare as righteous. For instance, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, you have the example of a judicial system, a judicial court. And in Deuteronomy 25 and verse 1, it talks about a legal hearing, a controversy between men that must come unto judgment. And it says, "The judges will judge them, then they shall justify the righteous and condemn the wicked." You see, after hearing the judicial proceedings, the judges then make a declaration. He's guilty. He's not guilty. And it is an immediate decision. Well, the Bible tells us when we receive Jesus Christ as personal Savior, the Lord God declares us as righteous through the merits of His Son. Again, it does not mean to make righteous. Let me show you why the Bible does not mean to make righteous by giving you an example in the book of Luke chapter 7 and verse 29. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 29, and the context is a testimony that was given regarding John the Baptist. "Among those born of women, there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist." But notice verse 29 of Luke 7. "All the people that heard him and the publicans justified God." Now, how can you justify God? God doesn't need to be made righteous. He is righteous. But they made a declaration saying that everything that God did was righteous. And they justified his works and his doings. And they made a pronouncement regarding God's rightness and his justification and all that was done through the ministry of John the Baptist. So here's the concept. Justification is an immediate declaration that God makes, and it is pertaining to the righteousness that Jesus Christ possesses that is imparted to us. When God sees you, he sees Jesus. How many of you have ever heard someone pronounce this statement? Justified means that God looks at you as if you had never sinned. How many of you have ever heard that before? God looks at you as if you had never sinned. That is greatly true. However, can I give you one proviso against maybe follow-up for a statement on that? If you ever use that phrase that when you are justified, God looks at you as if you had never sinned, keep in mind that Jesus bears the scars in his hands for all eternity as a reminder to us that he forgave us by his grace. So yes, it is true that God looks at us through the merits of his Son. And when God sees you, it's through the lenses of Jesus. But historically, I assure you, when we give praise to the Lamb of God, we will be thanking him for his mercy and grace in saving us from our sins. So therefore, the historical fact of our redemption will never be erased, but the truth of the matter is, it's a declaration that God will not hold our sins against us. Isn't that wonderful? That God has said, and no one is higher than God or more righteous than God. God has said this, I will not hold your sins against you, for they have been paid through the merits and the works of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Well, we've seen the need for justification and the meaning of justification, but let's take a look at the problem of justification. In other words, how can God be just and at the same time justify the believing sinner? Well, that's a good question. Turn to Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. Many of our scriptures will be centered in the book of Romans, but in Romans chapter 3, let's take it back to verse 24. Romans 3, 24 through verses 26. Notice, Romans 3, 24, being justified, being declared righteous, freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He wrought it for us, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. The word propitiation means the appeasement of wrath because his blood was sprinkled upon the mercy seat. But notice it says through faith in his blood. Oh, never forget the importance of the blood. Many denominations that are involved in ecumenical compromise are leaving the blood out of their doctrinal statements today, people. I'm telling you, believe me. And they're substituting it with death or atonement, and they're leaving it open. But the mention of the blood, the scriptures mention it. It fulfills the typology and the doctrine of the New Testament. Faith in his blood to declare his righteousness. You see, the matter of justification pertains to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. being passed on judicially to us. And notice it says in verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believes in Jesus. In order to be justified, you need to believe in Jesus. John 1:12 put it this way, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become, literally, the children of God, even to those which believe. How many times do you witness to someone and they'll say, oh, I've always been saved. I was born in my, I'll tell you what, my uncle Tanus was a preacher. But it is amazing how people will pull skeletons out of the closet. They'll say, I've always believed. The Bible says that we must believe and receive. There needs to come a point in time in which we receive it. And you know, the controversy, ever since I've been in the ministry, and I've been in the ministry over 45 years, I always hear people arguing, oh, do you have to pray to receive Christ? Prayer is a work. You don't need to pray to receive Christ. We're not saved by works. Let me tell you something. How do you receive? How do you call on the name of the Lord without uttering a plea to God? Call it a prayer, call it a plea, call it crying out, call it believing. Their belief and faith is the hand of the heart crying out to God and applying one's need. And in order for people to properly understand and to place a period of time that they can remember, it's very helpful for them to bring it to a point in time where they call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I know that there'll be many people that will disagree with that, and not here perhaps in our church, but in other churches. But keep in mind that we need to understand. I've had people that argue and say, well, you know what? We should never give invitations in a service to receive Christ. Well, how do you do an invitation? If you teach your people that coming forward saves you, that's not biblical. Coming forward does not save you, but placing your faith and trust in Christ saves you. But Brother Glenn Miller, you listen to his testimony and the significance of how God worked in his life when he stepped out, he really meant it. My dad felt such a conviction when the gospel was being given at the invitation time. As hard-crusted as my dad was for over 30 years of prayer, he came forward and he said he felt himself literally gliding forward. And he couldn't believe what he was doing, but he knew that he had to be saved. When I got saved and an invitation was given, I went forward because I wanted to hear more and I wanted to settle it, and the gospel was given to me. You don't present an invitation as a work for salvation, but a wise person, as Lewis Sperry Chafer always used to teach, an invitation is given. The gospel is proclaimed. You have a person pray where they are. The coming forward is simply to make it public so that they'll begin a life of witnessing to others that I am a Christian. And it's a public demonstration of faith in Christ. That's what an invitation is. It's your first step of being a soul winner. And I have found that people who are afraid to step out for the Lord will never be soul winners for the Lord, because they were ashamed to do that even among God's people. How are they going to stand in front of the godless? And it's a good step to come on out and demonstrate that. It solidifies that commitment, and it also gets you additional information and literature that grounds you, that helps you in your decision for the Lord. So this matter of receiving is so critical and important for us to understand. But we need to understand when it comes to justification, apart from Calvary's cross, there can be no solution. And it's through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved. Look at the basis, number four, of our justification. We are justified by his blood. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Isn't it wonderful that we're saved from the wrath of God because Jesus bore that wrath on the cross for you? Not only are we saved from the wrath of the great tribulation period, but much more so, the wrath of an eternal separation from God in hell. And by the way, it talks about much more in verse 9. The phrase much more is found four times in the book of Romans chapter 5. If any of you want to give a devotion or you want to study a devotion, look up in Romans 5. Here's an assignment for you to take home, or you can give it to a son or a daughter or someone that you're talking to. Look up the four times that the word much more is found. It's found four times, and it makes a delightful study in the Word of God. And one of them is verse 9 that we just read, that we are, yes, much more justified by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at this statement that I'm going to put up here for you. The substitutionary death of Christ is the one and only basis for the justification of sinful men. Oh, there are many that would say all of the religions of the world will save you. That's not what God's word teaches. God's word teaches that the substitutionary death of Christ is the only way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The word of God says, Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. I like that phrase, that little word, that little preposition, for. Because you know what? Literally, translated in the original, it has the idea in the text, in place of. The just in place of. It's the Greek word huper. He died. He suffered for our sins. The just, that's Christ, in place of or instead of the unjust. The Lord paid for my sins, that he might bring us to God. The only way you can ever be brought to God or have access to God is through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ here, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The word of God says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, the impeccability of Christ, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And by his stripes we are healed. In the book of Isaiah, the word of God says, chapter 53 and verse 6. So therefore, what do we say then? Here's what we say. All the demands of divine justice have been fully satisfied by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And the truth is that God judged his Son so that he might justify the believing sinner. Jesus paid it all. Praise God. In the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Oh, many people think that they can save themselves by their works. They cannot save themselves by works. You know, Jesus was my substitute, and he was yours. And he took your sin so that you might be able to receive his righteousness. And that's the wonderful transaction. Do I hear an amen about that? Praise God. We stand dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Folks, that's not just good theology, and it's theology that you won't hear from many pulpits today. Because today you hear bootstrap theology, you'll hear studies and lectures on comparative religion, and you'll hear individuals that are trying to soft soap sin. You can't get saved by making sin politically expedient or correct. The Word of God says we need to understand the message of the gospel. The death of Jesus Christ is the only basis for man to be declared righteous by God. Just Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the death of Jesus Christ would have been in vain. And you know, that concept basically comes from the pages of Scripture in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 21, when it says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Keep that in mind. Oh, the importance of it. Now let's take a look very quickly at the fifth consideration regarding our justification, and that is its source. Romans 3:24 reminds us we are justified freely by his grace. It's all of God. Now that's hard for man to accept, because man by nature, look at all of the religions of the world. It didn't take Cain long to try to intermingle his own fleshly efforts to save his soul and approach God. How many of you have ever witnessed to someone and they said, you know what, that sounds too simple? How many of you have ever heard that? Too simple. It's just too simple. There has to be more to it. There has to be more that I have to do. And that's couched in pride. But it's all of God and it's all of grace. We don't deserve God's gift of righteousness at all, but we're justified freely by his grace. Well, let's take a look at number six, at the channel of justification. The question is this: how does a sinner get this perfect righteousness? Well, simply, it's received by faith. It is received by faith. Romans chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. By faith, we accept that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. Jesus Christ was the perfect Son of God, and by faith, we trust in him. And that's why the Word of God says in chapter 5 of Romans and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that word justified in verse 1, it's looking back. A literal translation would be having been justified by faith. In other words, since we have been justified by faith. And it's interesting because it's looking back to what Jesus did on the cross, but then it's also in the passive voice, which further demonstrates to us that we are the recipients of something that we could never earn ourselves. If it was in the active voice, it would be us that have a part in it, in deserving or meriting it, but it's in the passive, the justification. We are the recipients of all of the blessings of being justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The free gift of God's righteousness, however, must be personally received. That's where you come in. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power. Now, you can try to work some type of a intellectual game and say, well, do you really have to pray? Can't you receive him without praying? There needs to be the request. There needs to be the request. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But as many as received him. In other words, that's a point in time that you do that. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And look at Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they which receive. Do you see that word receive there? There it is again. Receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. By the way, a good example, number seven, a good example of justification, Abraham is the prime example that is used by Paul and James. In the book of Genesis 15 and verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. All of Romans chapter 4 and the book of James chapter 2 describe the meaning and the act of justification. And Abraham is used prominently in the scriptures of one who was justified. Now, let's take a look at the results of justification. When a person is justified, God's perfect righteousness is put to your account. Let's say that you had a mortgage that was due and you had to pay $865 for your mortgage. That's not my mortgage payment. I'm just pulling a number out of my head, okay? But let's say that you had a mortgage payment and you couldn't make it. How much would it take to satisfy that? Well, $865. And it would be put to your account so that you could write a check on it. Well, you know, every week, Charles, who does such a good job on the bulletin, he gives us Faith's checkbook. And basically, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the author of Faith's checkbook, simply says that the believer, when he encounters the problems of life, he just writes a check by faith and believes God that it's in his account. And God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And many of you, and I myself, will be facing new trials in 2018, new avenues, new directions. But you know what? Write that check and say, Lord, this is required of me, but you've given unto me. You've put in my account all things that pertain to life and godliness. And I've been justified before you through the merits of Jesus. And therefore, Lord, your righteousness is put to my account. When the old devil comes and tries to take away your feeling of eternal security and your steadfastness in the things of the Lord, you remind him that he needs to take it up with God because you're dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God, this is a tremendous thought. God now sees me just as righteous as Jesus Christ. Wow, that is a thought. Why? Because the Bible says we are in Christ Jesus. Please don't read the epistles and minimize the meaning of the phrase in Christ. Some people think that in Christ just means that you made a decision one time. No, in Christ means that you are in Him and you possess all that Christ possesses through the merits of what He did for us on the cross at Calvary. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. The Word of God says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us." Notice the things that He's given us: wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Everything we need, we have in Christ Jesus through the merits of His Son. Being justified, I now have peace with God. Isn't that true? Being justified, I am no longer under any condemnation. And incidentally, there are some evidences that we are justified. There are some evidences. For instance, Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Do you know that evidence of your knowing Christ as personal Savior? It's going to be evident in your fruit. Jesus said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." And someone who doesn't care a flip about sin in their lives and can live any type of immoral lifestyle that they want and do whatever they want, whenever they want, no conviction of sin, they belong among the unrighteous that shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me close my message by giving you one thing, and that's final one, the hope of our justification. And when I say hope, you know what I mean, confident expectation. Turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8, and I know that you have part of it in front of you, but I want you to turn to the text. I like for God's people to turn to the text. You know, the reason why, and our church council was very firm on this, when we began our PowerPoint usage, we covenanted among ourselves that in our preaching, we would not just be careless in just throwing scripture up in any way that would keep people from turning to their copies of God's Word themselves, so that they might handle the scriptures, familiarize themselves. Now, if you want to bring an iPad with you and look them up, but you do the looking is the point. That blessing of digging and searching it out yourself. And that's why I purposely, very rarely, will write out all of the scriptures so that, well, I don't need to bring my Bible to church. I don't need to bring my Bible. Now, I'm not criticizing someone that might do that. I don't want to get into controversy. But what I'm saying is what our church's position is. We want you to be part of Central Florida Bible Church. That means bringing your Bible to church and using it and looking up the scripture. And in Romans 8 and verse 30, it says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He called. Whom He called, He also justified." Now get this. "Whom He justified, He glorified." The grammar of this passage presents everything that was done as in the past through Jesus Christ. In other words, the fact of your glorification. And by the way, Brother Jim has not yet been glorified. His body is still in the ground. His spirit and soul is in heaven. At the rapture, his body, using him as an example now, his body will rise, will be joined together with the soul and spirit in the air, and then be glorified together with believers who are yet alive. The glorification is when we receive our glorified bodies, and that does not take place immediately upon death. So Jim is still looking forward to some good things, and so are we. But he's fulfilled and seen so much more than us. How many of you would love to have him come back and preach a sermon? Wow, come on, Jim. Preach it. Well, there are a lot of other people that do a lot of good preaching too. But you know what? No one's going to hear a sermon like when we've been there 10,000 years and we hear our Lord teaching us of the riches of his grace unto the ages of the ages. We'll be learning through Jesus Christ. Well, our glorification is guaranteed. In the mind of God, it's already accomplished. Aren't you glad that that was one of the things that we received when we received Jesus Christ as personal Savior? And here you were, maybe a little child in vacation Bible school with Kool-Aid and cookies all around you, and you asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You never understood all of the theology behind it. But that's okay, as long as the Lord knew it and foreordained it. We're just learning about it and reinforcing it. But you know what? The Word of God and His redemption, it's so powerful and so profound that we can never, ever totally understand it. And every time I hear a message, whether it's something like on this topic or even John 3:16, my soul is thrilled with His grace. Don't ever lose sight of His grace and lose your appreciation of all that He has done for you. And I do pray for many, perhaps, of your children that may not know Christ as Savior, or family members and friends at work. We need to pray for one another. But let's remember, Jesus went out of His way. We saw that in Sunday school. And He went to those who were outcasts. The Syrians, the mongrels, the half-breeds, those that were rejected, kind of like the Civil War soldier who wants to play both sides and he wears a Union top and Confederate slacks and gets shot at from both sides. Well, you know what? There are people in this world that are rejected, and we need to show them that they can be accepted. How can you have a bad self-image when you realize that God has accepted you? The perfect one. How can you have a bad self-image or feel that you're unloved in this world? How can you feel unloved when you understand the theology of His truths towards you? That's why I believe that a believer ought to be the most adjusted person in the world. If you really have been digging into the Scriptures to see the blessings that are yours in Christ Jesus. And I have one message for you today, folks. Jesus loves you. He loves you. And He's going to care for you. And He's going to take you all the way. Because you know what? Jesus went all the way on the cross to redeem you. And His purposes will not be thwarted in the things of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You, Father, for Your promises. Thank You, Lord, for the great things that we have heard through the ministry of music and the delivery of Your word in Sunday school and this morning. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone listening to this message that's despondent, discouraged, feeling that life makes no sense, feeling that they've been abandoned and unloved and there's no one who cares, may we see that Jesus cares. Did something about it. And Lord, help us to take this message of love and grace to a world that is full of hate and division and hostility. And may, Lord, many come to Jesus Christ as Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.